Bibles to Psalm 22. Psalm 22 in your Bible. What a joy to be here. I love the church, love the pastor, and what a wonderful place this is. And I'm looking for a great week. I hope it won't be great unless you're part of it, really. Tonight at 6 o'clock, and then Monday through Friday at 7:30, correct? Great. We're looking for a great week, a week when your friends find Christ as their Savior, a week when God does the work in your heart that draws you nearer to Him and nearer to the Word of God. I want to encourage you, come, but don't come alone. You say, preacher, how do I get somebody to come to church? Most people just aren't interested. It can be done. Number one, you can blackmail people. That works well, okay? You can kidnap people. What you have to do, I really don't care. Just do whatever it takes to bring friends here this week. They might find our wonderful, wonderful Savior. Look in your Bible, please. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me, and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Psalm 22 is an amazing psalm. It was written about 500 years before Jesus Christ died on the cross. But my friend, time and time, we find what happened that day at Calvary is predicted right here in Psalm number 22. I would call this psalm the scream of an abandoned soul. In 1778 in Paris, France, a man lay dying, probably the most famous infidel ever lived. His name was Voltaire. The time his death came near, the doctor came to check on him. He said, doctor, I'm a wealthy man. Keep me alive 24 hours. I'll give you half of what I'm worth. The doctor said, sir, I have prescriptions to write and pills to dispense. I have no time to sell. The last recorded words of Voltaire were these. I'm abandoned by God and man. In Psalm 22, you find the scream of another abandoned soul. His name is Jesus Christ. He hangs on the cross, dying for your sin and my sin, and Christ cries out and says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Number one, a sadness. Why in that great hour, when Jesus Christ needed God the Father as ever before, why would God turn his back and plug his ears and abandon his son? My friend, there's a reason we'll come to in a minute. There's a reason for that. I'll tell you briefly, the reason is that God in heaven is holy. God cannot stand sin. When his own son bore your sin and my sin on the cross, he was abandoned by a holy God because that God cannot tolerate sin. Several things here about this sadness. Number one, first of all, we find that God hid. Again, how shocking. Look in your Bible at verse number 3, please. In verse number 3, thou art holy, O thou inhabitant of Israel. The praises of Israel. Here it is. Christ is dying. His own son. Think that through. Think that through. On that cross, Christ bore your sin and my sin. Because he became sin, God abandoned him. Think, sir. Think, ma'am. If God would abandon his own son, but he bore sin. If you die without letting Christ forgive your sin, you'll die in that extreme, horrible condition. First of all, we find that God hid. When I was in seminary, my wife and I shared a house with a woman that was in her early 80s. We had a wonderful lady and a wonderful Christian, and my wife was quite hectic. I went to school from about 8 to noon. I run home, grab a bite to eat, then I would walk 2 miles downtown Chattanooga, Tennessee, to go to work. And one day I come home, I walked in the house, right in the kitchen. On the kitchen table was a dish. Over the dish there was cellophane, and a note on the dish. The dish said, Brother Mark, God loves you and I love you. Signed, Mrs. Witt. Now, I opened the cellophane up. I looked on the plate. On the plate were two items I'd never seen before. Number one, there are black-eyed peas. But you don't know what black eyed peas are. You rejoice and praise God. I'll hear that right now. Now, number two on that plate is the worst thing I ever saw in my life. It's quite popular down south. But it was called hog joles. Now, down south, when they butcher the hogs, they scrape the fat off the jaws of the hog. Now, if you fry it, it resembles bacon. Mrs. Hitt was a diabetic. She boiled it, all right? Now, on that plate, a big hunk of boiled hog fat and black-eyed peas. Now, my friend, I'm so happy I didn't return thanks before I saw that, amen. So what I did, I took that in the bathroom. I disposed of it, right? About 3 weeks later, I come home. I walk in the house, go in the kitchen. Another plate, another cellophane over it. Another note, Mrs. Lily Mark, God loves you and I love you. Now, I never doubted God's love. When I saw that plate, I doubted her love. I'll hear that right now, friend. Anyway, what did I do? There was a rerun, hog joles and black-eyed peas. I want to tell you something. I come to your house to eat this week. You try to feed me hog joles and black-eyed peas. I'm going to put a curse on you. I will. I can eat anything, anywhere. I will not eat hog joles and black-eyed peas. Now, hear me seriously. Hear me. God in heaven, he cannot tolerate sin. His own son screaming for him, crying for him. And the father said, son, I can't help you because you're bearing other people's sin. I repeat myself, not because I have nothing else to say, but if God would abandon his own son dying with unforgiven sin, then my friend, when you die, you'll die abandoned by God. Number one, God didn't help. Number two, God didn't hear. Look in your Bible again at verse number two. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, and thou hearest not in the night season, and am not silent. On the cross, Christ prayed seven prayers. And yet God forsook his son when he prayed. Why? When you and I as believers have sin in our life, the Bible says we know that God heareth not sinners. Hope this week you'll pray for revival. My friend, that prayer will not go above the ceiling unless our hearts are clean and our lives are clean. Here's God's son praying, but because he's bearing sin, God cannot answer that prayer. Number three, thirdly here, notice carefully, please. My friend, God did not help. What a horrible position Christ is in, hanging on the cross, pain and agony, being mocked, being ridiculed, being spit upon. And yet, my friend, God couldn't help him, because on that cross was your sin and my sin. I preached in Iowa a number of years ago. The pastor came to me and said, Brother Mark, there's a farmer out here. He said, the man's not a Christian. I've witnessed to him. He said, his name is Floyd, but Floyd's in very, very bad shape. He said, if we go out, will you try and witness to him? I said, I'll try. We got in the car, drove out and pulled in the driveway. Beautiful, beautiful house. I still remember two Cadillacs in the driveway. We never ring the doorbell, and Floyd's wife opened the door. He asked us in. We walked in. Floyd is living, is laying on a bed in the living room. We walked in, the pastor's wife and I, before he could say a word. Floyd cried out and said, Pastor, Pastor, I'm so glad you come. He said, Pastor, help me. I need God. It took me about that long to lead Floyd to Jesus Christ. My friend, hear me. When you got your health, you got money in the bank, you can laugh at God, ridicule the old-time religion. When you're struggling for that next breath, and eternity looms large in your throat, nobody laughs at God on a deathbed. But my friend, you'll die just like Christ died, abandoned by God, unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the purpose of Calvary. One word, substitution. You play sports, you blow it. A substitute comes in. In our life, we have blown it. We're sinners. But thank God, the love of Christ constrained him. And Christ went to the cross and died on the cross. And thank God, he paid for our sin, if we'll let him do that. Doesn't mean everybody automatically goes to heaven. No, you make a decision to accept Jesus Christ. Bible, he that hath the Son hath life. That's a time and a place experience. Can you point to a time in your life, dear friend, when you made that great decision and received Jesus Christ? Number one, a sadness. Number two, thank God it doesn't end there. In this text we find there is a sureness. Look in your Bible, please. Verses 4 and 5. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. What does that statement say? Repeatedly, it's repeated. Trust, 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 crying. What's God trying to get through to us? Have we become a Christian? Three times your Bible says this, sir. Whosoever, I like that word. I talked to somebody on a plane, as I did 2 days ago. Talked to somebody in a mall. I can talk to somebody anywhere and say, you know what? This is for you because Christ died for everybody. My friend, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life, which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible says Christ died for our sin, not for ours only, but the sin of the entire world. On that cross, the sin of the world was heaped on Him, burning on Him. Oh, what a loving God we have. He made it possible for you to go to heaven. Now, how do we make that decision? Again, look in your Bible. It repeats it time and time again. Verse number 4. Our fathers trusted in Thee. They trusted, and Thou didst deliver them. They cried unto Thee, and were delivered. They trusted in Thee, and were not confounded. Let me point out two things. Trust. Trust. The object of your trust is what saves. Notice that. It's not just trust. It's trusting an object. Again, verse number fathers. Our father trusted what? In Thee. They trusted, and Thou didst deliver them. They cried unto Thee, and were delivered. They trusted in Thee, and were not confounded. See, people say, well, I have faith. No, faith must have an object. And my friend, faith in faith won't help you. But thank God, faith in Christ will help you. Jesus said, He that cometh to Me, no matter how wicked, how vile, or how good and moral, I will in no wise cast out. Notice something else here. The word cried. Three times your Bible says this. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to heaven, you know why? Not because I'm a preacher. Not because I've been baptized and joined a church and been to seminary. I'm going to heaven for one reason. 60-year-old boy. Fell on my back in bed at church camp. I realized I was a sinner. I realized, my friend, because of my sin, I was marching straight for the gates of hell. But thank God that night I realized the great truth I'm preaching this morning. On the cross, Christ died. Not for His sin. He was sinless. But on that cross, He bore our sin in His body. And thank God, not in church, not in the temple revival. Fell on my back in bed that night. I was a 16-year-old boy. I said, Christ, I know I'm a sinner. I know You died for me. And right here, right now, I receive You as my Savior. And that night, fell on my back in bed, I became a child of God. Why? Because I received Him. Watch it, sir. Him, not it. It cannot save. But He can save. And He wants to save. If you'll come to Christ this morning, you can walk out that door with a new life and a new dynamic and a power and a reservation in heaven. Why? Through Him. Christ is the answer. Please understand that. Assureness. Men may lie to you. I've been lied to. You've been lied to. But God doesn't lie. And Jesus Christ said, here, stake your soul on it. Christ said, I am the way and the truth. Thank God we can trust this book and we can trust Christ. And that's all He asks us to do. Acknowledge our sinfulness and receive Him. Number 3. Thirdly, the key of this Christianity, there is a substitution here. Look in your Bible. Verse number 6. The man dying, a picture of Christ on the cross, said, I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. Now, why does it say, I am a worm? Ah, interesting. In Bible times, if you wore a garment and the garment got stained, you could not get the stain out. In Bible times, ladies, this may help you, okay? In Bible times, they take a wash pan, they go out in the yard and look under logs and things and find worms. These worms were called Caucus, C-A-U-C-A-S. You won't find this in good housekeeping, ladies. I'll tell you that right now. They get a big tub of these worms. They bring them in. This will help your lunch today. They would smash the worms. Then they would dip the garment that had a spot in it. They get the garment in there, let it sit, take it out, and that garment was dyed a bright red color. The sun could shine on it, it would still be that bright red color. The wind could whip it, it would still be that bright red color. What is the point, preacher? How do we get salvation? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Thank God the red blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary covers your sin, covers my sin, makes it possible because of what He has done for us that we may go to heaven. Many years ago, it probably is not true, okay? Probably just folklore. But at the time of Christ, there was a young man, his name was Christian. And his father was a carpenter, so they called him Christian the Carpenter. And one day he's in his father's carpenter shop. The door is slammed open. There's a jangling noise. In walks a Roman soldier, goes to the father and said, "Here, tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock, these must be ready." Turns around and walks out the door. Father takes the paper. It's an order for 3 crosses. Said, "Someone's got to work late tonight. Get these crosses done." Sure enough, they work late that night. This morning, right on schedule, 6 o'clock, the door is slammed open. In walk 3 Roman soldiers. "Quit the crosses right there. Here's a receipt. Take it to pay it." Okay, they got the cross. Cynthia's dad said, "Son, I'm proud of you. Thanks for helping me last night. We worked really late." He said, "Son, here's some shekels." He said, "Take the day off. Do what you want to do. You're a good boy. I trust you. Just do what you want to do, son." Okay. Cynthia's walking around downtown. All of a sudden, he's a big crowd. Being a smaller boy, he made his way through the crowd, and as he looks, he sees Jesus carrying the cross up a hill. As he watches, he sees God's Son fall down, and Cynthia's turn and runs back through the crowd, back through the streets, back to the carpenter shop. Said, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, guess what? They're killing Jesus, and they're killing Jesus on the cross I made, Daddy. They're killing Christ on my cross." Father said, "Son, some of them." Said, "Son, you can't know that. Every day they crucify dozens of people here in this town." He said, "You can't know it's your cross." He said, "Daddy, I never told you this. Every time I made something, a table, a chair, in this case, a cross, when I got through, I'd take my little chisel, and somewhere I'd chisel my initials on what I made." He said, "Daddy, when I finished the cross, on the bottom of that cross, I chiseled my initials, C.C. He said, "Daddy, I made the cross they crucified Christ on. My initials were there. Your initials were there, sir. Your sin caused him to go to that cross and bleed and die." But one more thought. The story doesn't end here. Look in your Bible. Look down, please. Look down at verse number 22. The one dying, a picture of Christ, said, "I will declare my neighbor, my name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation." Was that true? Did it happen? It did. You know the story. The disciples are gathered in walks Jesus. Amen. He's not dead, he's alive. And friend, I want to tell you something today. Christ is alive. It's not just a song, it's a fact. We serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. Whatever your need might be, He can help you with your marriage, help you with habits, help you, my friend, in witnessing, because He's alive. He can help you. Other gods died and were buried and decayed and stank, but Christ is alive today. And thank God, because He's alive, He can meet the deepest need in your heart if you'll come to Him today. A.J. Gordon had a great church in Boston. Great preacher. So one night he went to bed and he had a dream. Keep in mind, it's a dream. So in the dream, he stood up to preach in that great church and he's just started to preach. A man came in late and sat toward the back. A.J. Gordon said in the dream he could not take his eyes off that man. He just stared at him. He said he tried to preach, and he got through preaching. He thought, I'll run to the back and see that man before he leaves. When he finished preaching, folks had come to be saved. He had to deal with him, and when he got through, he looked up, and he saw the man going out the back door. Quick as he could, A.J. Gordon made his way through that great crowd of several hundred people, got the back door, looked around, and he couldn't see the man. Turned to a deacon and said, sir, there was a man here, kind of a tall man, had a beard. He said, oh, where is he? He said, sir, he left. Oh, man, he said, I wanted to talk to him. In a dream, he said, I wanted to know who he was. Deacon said, sir, I can tell you who he was. I talked to him. So that man was Jesus Christ. He said, to tell you something. He said, don't worry. Every time the Word of God's preached, he's right there. He's here this morning. Wherever two or three are gathered together, he said, there am I in the midst of them. Thank God. He's here today to change your life, change your destiny, give you joy you'll never have. Why? Because we serve a living Savior, and he wants to live in your life today. Bow your head for prayer. Preach.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. That's all about me. That preacher was preaching all about me. That's me that put Christ on the cross. My initials are at the bottom of that cross. And I want to take care of that today. You're here today and you say, preacher, if I were to die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd be to heaven. But I want to take care of that today. I want to make sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. You know, the crazy as our world is today, and as amazing the things that are happening out there, boy, it's a good idea to make sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you're on your way to heaven. Won't you receive Jesus Christ, your personal Savior today? I'm going to have everybody to stand. Everyone standing. Everyone standing. Pianist is going to play. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that today. Boy, you know, I want to take care of this. I'm tired of running from it. I'm tired of thinking about and wondering about whether or not I'm saved or not. I want to take care of it today. I'm going to be down front. If you're here today and you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, why don't you come down and meet me in front and invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You come right now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come right now? Why don't you receive Christ as your personal Savior? Are you 100% sure? If you went and you died, and you went to the gate of heaven, and Jesus met you there, and he asked you this question, why should I let you in? Why should I let you in? Would you have an answer? What would your answer be? Well, I've been a good person. That doesn't work. Well, I've kept the Ten Commandments. No, you didn't. Well, I've been a good neighbor. Jesus said, it's not a works as any man should boast. It's a gift of God. Why don't you come right now and say, preacher, today I want to make sure of that. I want to get saved. You hear today and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believer's baptism. That's down in the water and up out of the water. And I want to take care of that. Why don't you come at this time? You hear today and you say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time? On your way to heaven? Positive of it? I hope you are. That's the most important question anybody ever asks in your lifetime. Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? Have you made a personal... Have you spoke to God personally and said, God, I need salvation. I need my sins forgiven. I believe he died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart. Father in heaven, We come to you today and we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that's preached. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the clarity that was preached. There's no question anybody walk out of this building without you is their fault. Spirit of God, I pray you'd work in a great way. Would you help us, Lord, today? Help us, Lord, as we go about our business. And, Lord, bring us back tonight to hear the preaching. Lord, help us to, if we're here today and we're not sure of that, seek someone out. And, Lord, tell them that they have that you have a need. And, oh, God, I pray you'd help. Now, Lord, bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me give you a little instruction here. If you have children that are here, and maybe they're in junior church or they have them here, if you would head out, I believe they have the eggs over on this side of the church. And on behalf of the Heritage Baptist Church, we thank you for coming. I hope you come back again. I hope you'll think of these meetings we're having this week. It's really great and good preaching. All right. You're dismissed.